Us. Yo, welcome to another episode of the Bad Patter Podcast. Straight off the bat, I'd like to apologise first of all about the surroundings. We've had a bit of a fucking nightmare tonight, so we've lost our usual space. We currently have an acting crew in taking up our space, but anyway.
They call themselves actors, man.
Wait a minute, where's the strippers
and the pizza? Strippers, pizza, top floor.
Punch and pie.
That's what I was promised.
I think we need to make some. Well, first of all, obviously, I'm joined as always by my co host, Chris Bungard.
How we doing?
How we doing? And, well, let's, the man in the middle, Craig Mott McIntosh, has turned up in an attire that's cheered us all up, I would say.
Also got the Saturday night sliders on, which you can't see.
Oh, well, we'll need to get a pan down.
No, there we go.
I'm just thinking if you're there stopping at traffic lights and somebody pulls up, looks to the left and goes, what the fuck is happening here?
Aye, man, I don't know.
So obviously you've came for jiu-jitsu. Where were you training tonight?
Through at higher level tonight. Lee Cameron was teaching a class.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
He's been doing a lot of work for Oliver Taza and some of the John Danaher guys and that, so his details and stuff are on point.
Aye. And Danny's been with James Doolan for, I mean, early, he's before Scout Hall days, isn't he? He's been there that long.
Years,
he's a funny dude, I know.
Aye,
on Facebook, his comments always make me laugh.
Aye, brutal. He's absolutely brutal, man. He just says to folk, that's what you get.
So you obviously with Cameron, he was out in America for, was it quite a while he was out there for?
Cammy went out to TriStar in Canada.
Right.
Canada,
to TriStar in Canada. I could be lying when I said he went to New York, but he went out to, it might have been the last ABCC. Went to the last ABCC and he was training with the Danaher guys now out there. He's quite good friends with a couple of the guys in the squad, so he went out there in the UK or whatever, or even close to Europe, he'll usually go and train with them and pick up more details, and he's only a young guy, so it's pretty cool. He's thinking actually being the ADCC trials, so that's like massive, you know. There's Ross Nichols just won it for the UK, which is, I think, the last person in the US. I don't know if anybody else has won it for the UK recently, but Ross Nichols won it for the UK, which is pretty big. And all the other guys were, I looked at the whole bracket because that's my bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Where's
Ross?
Where's he?
Craig?
He's
London. Aye, sorry,
Craig. That's you.
We good?
Aye, we should be good.
And then back. Hear me now?
I should be us. Right, that's
right. Cool.
So, sorry, what were you saying, Chris?
Where's Ross?
London. He's down south. He's got his own gym, and it's like, I can't remember what the name of his gym is, man. It's like X or something like that. I can't remember, but I'm sure he's like a Roger Gracie black belt or something.
So, have you ever had a chance to roll with Ross at all?
Never, man. Nah, I've never had a chance to roll with him. I've watched quite a few of his matches. Mm-hmm. He's been competing a lot in Polaris and stuff like that. So,
Aye,
pretty. He's like the best in the UK, pretty much. Now everybody.
Future opponent?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just doing a wee bit. I'm barely even training for the ins I'm doing. So.
Well, you don't have any problems holding your trousers up with the amount of belts you're collecting at the minute.
Aye, it's going quite well, man. Aye, man. It's just, I don't know what to say. I probably should be training harder because I don't really treat jiu-jitsu the way that I treated MMA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that last one, I only actually done, I tore my LCL.
Aye.
And it's still a bit dodgy than now, so I only got 3 proper rolls in for that last camp.
See, when you went into that one, I know, because I've obviously saw you on your own podcast, Mopcast,
yeah.
And you'd spoke about the injuries, and so was your main issue going into obviously the last competition, was it cardio? What was
just everything, to be honest. It was the worst case scenario. I was pretty close to pulling out.
Mm.
I hate pulling out things, you know.
But for the females.
that's why it's called the Bad Patter Podcast. I was struggling to walk more than anything, and then I started drilling a wee bit, and just it gradually loosened up, and round about a week and a half before I had to kind of make the decision to, right, am I going to try it? I was about 2 weeks out, and I said, right, I'm either just going to try and roll here and just tear it, like try and roll properly, because mm-hmm. there's no point in me fucking just no rolling at all and then going into the event without doing any rolling or any training whatsoever. So I thought, I need to do some training, so I just thought I'll do, you know, I got three full rolls in with good guys, and that was that, aye. I never tore during those rolls, because it was a partial tear, so it's either at that stage, it's either healing or it's getting worse.
Aye.
And if it gets worse, you're out for 6 months. If it heals, then you can usually, recovery time's about sort of 4 to 6 weeks, roughly. And it's no tore, but it's hanging by a thread.
So it's, aye. Is there also seem you're going into the competition and you have been injured and you've not been able to train what you would, as much as you'd like to? Does that affect your confidence at all?
It took the pressure off, actually. Right. It actually made it better. It took the pressure off, because I never expected much of myself going into it. You know, everybody that trains with me knew that I wasn't prepared as well as possible. But I got a lot of confidence. That guy I got first. It was good when I seen I had him first, because I knew he was going to be really tough.
Right.
And I thought, right, if I can get past him, I should hopefully be all right with the rest of the stuff that I can do. And just getting the toughest match first, because I would hate to went against him feeling unfit,
aye,
you know, and having a tougher match first. So I just thought it was good to get him first, and I thought, right, I'd just try and put him away. He'd beat my pal Stevie Wayne, he'd beat my pal Charlie, you know Charles, he'd beat them, and they'd both said to me, no, look, you'll beat this guy, you're technically better than him. Jack Dickinson, he's a TFT boy, so he trains with
Sunderland,
eh? He trains with Andrew Fisher and all that. He actually coaches Jiu Jitsu for them. He's been up training before. So that was the situation I was in, and I just thought, you know what, there's no pressure on it. I did think, fuck's sake, like, because the other two guys, Jack Brown and the guy for 10th Planet, Chris, they're both fucking leg lock guys. You know what I mean? So I'm going into that with a fucked knee, just thinking to myself, like, here we go. And then what do they do? The only guy that's not really a leg lock guy, Ollie, he pulled out, so they put this Jack in. I thought another, and he'd beat like both of them by leg lock. That Jack wins Maestie's matches Beniba, and I just thought, fucking right, I went for two leg lock guys to three leg lock guys with a fucked leg. I just thought, this isn't going good. But I also know that, like, with grappling, you can kind of control where everything goes anyway. You know, you can really, it's up to you, kind of, it's just maths anyway. You can kind of control what happens most of the time. So, I just thought, no, as long as, I didn't want to overcommit with that, Jack. I was kind of holding back quite a lot. So, with Jack Dickinson, I was holding back and thinking, I didn't want to show my ace cards, you know. So, because I went for a wee bit of neck tie, I got a hold of his neck at one point, and I didn't really fully commit to it. I just let go and thought, nah, I'll wait till he gets a wee bit more comfortable. He got a wee bit more comfortable and started loosening up, because I watched his match with Charlie, and Charlie really should have tapped him about four times. I said that to Charlie beforehand. He left too many openings, and with openings, I knew if he left those openings with me, I would catch him. So I was just letting him loosen up, letting him just take my time, make sure he didn't catch anything on me, and letting him get more and more confident. And he got confident and sat up on to Turtle, and he hung out there for way longer than he should have hung out in Turtle. And you know, that was that. Like, the sequence had started, and usually once the sequence starts, you're no getting out of it.
Aye. But ultimately, even getting in with the injury, it was a good day for you.
Aye.
You were comfortable, especially in the last fight I watched with Jack. You had a solid mount several times, and looked as if you were a lot relaxed instead of your usual go for the kill, you know what I mean?
Aye, I think that's the thing with jiu-jitsu rather than MMA. For some reason, obviously there's no punches involved, so you can take your time a wee bit more, and I don't know, I just always feel a lot more relaxed. I think the MMA background helps me a lot for jiu-jitsu, because worst case scenario is that you have to tap out and your fight gets hurt for 5 minutes, and at this stage, if somebody beats me, they're probably quite good.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give them credit and say, right, the guy's, the guy's quite good. My pride gets hurt, but in MMA, usually you lose, you've put your fucking soul into it for 10 weeks, and you get beat, and what do you say? You're beat, you've probably got a sore face, In MMA, it's a lot more devastating.
So is it almost then that the consequences are a lot higher in MMA?
Aye, so nothing else really bothers you. Once you've dealt with the pressure of MMA, nothing else in life at all bothers you.
Aye. You're definitely looking, you looked comfortable in that, let's say, in that second fight. And as you've said, obviously, the stuff Alex Enlund had said to you as well, that seems to be benefiting you going forward too.
Aye, so in my second match, that was a few years ago, I'd rolled with Alex and he mounted me in one of the rounds and I struggled to get him off. And he just explained his kind of thoughts behind mounting, the fact that, you know, you're kind of a conversation about dominance, and that anybody can submit anybody in their day, but controlling somebody is kind of actually more dominant than submitting somebody, you know. Because anybody can sub anybody, but he was just saying, you know, if you, and then he explained, like, it's when there's punches involved, and a few, he taught me one thing, which was like trapping the arm in mount, where you can tire the person out. It's even worse, so you can panic them if there's punches and stuff like that. And I've been, ever since he showed me that, like, it really hit home the way he put it across to me. And right. I've been using what he had showed us to, I've been just doing it to people, and it's boring. It's not my style of training, because I'm usually just, like, my way that I've always trained is just try and tap people as many times as I can. And you know, sometimes if I'm training with somebody that's like a lower level, I'll just work stuff that I'm working on. But if I'm rolling the competitive roles, I'll just try and tap people as many times as I can. So then I just changed that a wee bit and started just trying to control positions, and no matter what they were trying to do to get out, just shutting it down and trying to keep that position, even if they were giving up submissions, just no even taking it until the point where they're exhausted and just want to get it.
It's quite interesting as well when you say that, because I don't know if you've listened to Rogan's podcast with Kamaru Usman.
No, I've not listened to it yet, actually.
Kamaru Usman speaks Big about Marty. Something. He talks about that as well, but Kamaru Usman talks about something quite similar to what you've said there, or what Alex said to you, is that he prefers to dominate an opponent, or he did in his wrestling. He would rather dominate and string it out rather than get a quick pin, or in an MMA fight, get a quick punch. He likes to dominate them because he felt that then opponents couldn't say, oh, well, it was a lucky punch.
There's
not
really any
that.
Coming back for
there's,
that.
There is no coming back for you. If you're dominate, for example, the way you performed.
5 rounds.
Aye.
25 minutes.
I mean, for that, the way you performed against Tyrone Woodley, you can say what you want to say about maybe Tyrone Woodley turning up, but he got beaten every second of that fight. There was no...
I can't really think of a fight either where somebody's lost 5 rounds clean and then came back like maybe a year later or that and turned it around. Rarely will you ever see that, do you know what I mean? Can you think of anything?
No.
I think when you're talking about that as well for Tyrone, I think the motivation, it's so difficult for him to get back to the title because of how he was as a champion as well. It would be hard for him to get back, so...
Like Holloway Aldo, that happened. They tried to rematch, it didn't happen. Dillashaw done it twice. Probably that was the closest. Dillashaw done it to Barral twice.
Dillashaw has obviously got his own issues as of the day.
That's right, another United.
I know.
Did you see that?
No, on it.
Everybody's on steroids.
It's after, it was weird though, with the Dillashaw situation, obviously with Bottom, because it was on Rogan's and he was talking about strength and conditioning coach and how scientific and how all that.
It's fucking really scientific.
You're like, what were you doing? Were you using a special type of needles that they don't know about or that yet?
You see a picture of him eating it, it's got like about 100.
You don't see what's under the table, but,
I liked how he came out first, though. He made the first post, saying he's geeing up his belt and stuff like that. So, I don't know.
Be interesting to see what. I just think there's no smoke without fire, though, because.
Oh, definitely.
Remember Cody made that daft comment like about a year and a half ago, he said
he taught
everybody in Alpha Male how to juice, and you're just like, fucking hell, do you know what I mean? So that you've got that comment, and then he's getting busted, the two, when you add the two up, it's just...
You hear things as well.
I wonder why they do it, though. Like, they've got all this testing, you'll still wonder why they actually do it, because
I don't know, but I've heard things as well about gyms in America and that, about what it's like when programs guys go in there, they've got their special programs, come in and meet Dr. George in there, he'll sort you out. By the way, that's my doctor, he's no... Yes.
I've heard the same about a lot of gyms in America as
I think it's in the sport, it's rife, it's become a bit more...
certain cultures it's no frowned upon as well, so like maybe the way that we grow up, you didn't really hear, like I never even heard about steroids until a few years into MMA. You know, I didn't even know what the point of it was, but some people, like in some cultures, like in Brazil, for example, it's not illegal. They'll grow up and it's like in their acai. You know what I mean?
It's
not even
it's. I mean, you hear steroids, but you just think it's massive. But it's there's so many other layers to it. It's like EPO and stuff for performance. It doesn't necessarily make you massive. It's a lot of your recovery, the stuff now as well. It's not for getting big and just big and strong. It's to help you recover faster. And
oh, that's the main thing. That's the main difference, well, is the recovery.
You just know what it's like. Both of you have obviously been through hard training camps.
We've been jagging up for day one.
Fuck's
sake. Yeah, you could tell with some of the, when you had the first come in, and you could see like the before and afters with some of the fighters like Barral and Belfort and stuff like that. You could clearly see the definition actually changing and then the performances.
Baby, when the lights
we're back. Again, we'll apologise for the setup tonight. You see me doing that, I'm just keeping the lights on. Sorry, when you go.
Just, you can tell with their definition of their bodies and obviously their performances. Because when USADA come in, their body's changing and they all start getting beat. Like Belfort, Barral.
They need to just put in lifetime bans or something like that. The only way it's off to lifetime bans, two divisions. Fire what, like a division for folk that want to take it here in fucking Japan or something like that and just have them all smash each other right at their heads. But it's no fair. And the body type, your body type changes that much as well. So the people that are on it, I feel like if you've took it, even if you're coming off it for a year, you've still got the benefits for everything you've ever done. So it almost, when you look at it, the people that aren't doing it, it's almost stupid that they're not doing it, because the people is like, people maybe, say they go through their whole career, let's say they go through the amateur circuit, roided. Then they go through, you know, the novice pro circuit, roided. They're not really getting properly tested until UFC. So if they smash enough people to get to the UFC, which they really should be able to today if they're even half skilled with the advantage that they're got, if they're taking that, and then they come off it, right, when they're about to get signed for the UFC, they've still got all the muscle, they've still got all those wins that they've racked up for doing it. And then, fair enough, they're maybe not going to be world champion, but still, they're going to end up a lot of money, you know?
Potentially hurting some. I mean, how do you think folk in 1FC feel? Because 1FC have sent Vitor, but they've not just sold. They've not signed the UFC Vitor. They've signed, it looks like,
the
TRT. The Phenom's returning. I feel sorry for folk in 1FC. There's some eyeballs getting kicked straight out of the heads in there.
I'll tune in.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not saying I wouldn't want to watch it. I got hooked on the sport off watching guys like fucking Gary Goodrich fight. And do you know what I mean, like smashing, he was letting people punch him in the head because he was that fucking juiced up. He's going hitting them again. I was watching that fucking, and that's what I thought, oh, these guys are mental. I just love the madness in it, but I didn't realise that these guys were all like fucking that juiced up, that's why they were so mad, you know. Didn't get me wrong, some of them people are just characters and stuff as well, but it's bad.
It'd be better if they just if you can't get rid of it, just make it even with folk.
It? You need a lead for the guys that don't want to take stuff like that. Aye. Because, I've read into like what the bad side effects and things like that are. There's probably people that know more than me that will say that there's no or whatever. I don't know. But for me, it's just something I think. Fighting, like for martial arts, it's about who you are as a person, like your mental fortitude, all these things. And I just think it takes away from that. You're needing a helping hand. It takes away from it.
It's like having a crutch in it.
Aye, like fine, have a league for the guys that want to cheat, but for the guys that don't want to cheat, then they need to have, you know, they need to have something like USADA. They need to have, and even then, guys are getting popped left, right, set. It's honestly skinnered me with the sport quite a bit, to be honest.
Aye. I'm going to get stuck with him on Bellator.
Oh, you were asking for them all. He was down here saying, "Just send me here to America. I'll deal with the juice heads." Do you think that's what's going to happen then? You'll get a few of these boys on Mexican supplements.
See the Bellator crew on them.
Probably. They're on what, the day off test? They're on the day off.
As thorough as it is in the UFC.
Nah, it's commission,
isn't
it?
Is that what it is in that, the day off test?
So what was it they called that? It's a stupidity test, really, more than anything else.
Aye, that's what they see me talk about. So whatever, people just come off it. I don't know. I guess I'm quite naive with all that stuff, but I've got a rough idea.
You've got other situations like the John Jones pulsing thing. To me, that just seems like a free reign for John Jones today, whatever. Because every time that thing shows up, he can just, it's pulsing effect.
Aye, because it's long-term metabolites, so that it's pulsing. So, so what that means is it's something that's been in the system. I can't remember what the date range they gave with, but it's something that's been in the system from a certain time period ago. But it just makes you think, man, it gives him so much more advantage.
That's what I think anyway, because I've never heard it before. It seems like it's a John Jones thing. It doesn't seem like anybody else's.
He's definitely done something.
Oh, of course he has.
But then you've got the guys that are getting like, that got papped. Maybe no anymore they wouldn't, but they got papped for weed. Like Nick Diaz ended up getting a thing he overturned when he was smoking weed. At that Gogo Plata finish he got in Vegas years ago against Takanori Gomi. It was one of the best finishes of all time, got overturned. Because he had been smoking a wee bit of weed. Like, what the fuck?
I know, it's just fucking... it's weird. It's just because the sport's still so young.
There's a lot of things wrong with the sport still in terms of the rule sets. There's so much variance in the scoring, variance in even the referees' criteria. Like, the referees make certain decisions and... there's so many things, there's so many ways to exploit it. I think you need to be stricter with penalties, I think, like, kicks to the balls and eye pokes and stuff like that. They need to just find a way to get rid of all that as well.
Yeah, it's fucking the worst kick to the balls I've ever seen live is your brother.
Aye.
Against, when we're talking, let's be honest, Daniel Rutkowski was like the side of a house. Jesus Christ.
That's
the woman I was like, steroids? You see Stevie, obviously Stevie's a lot taller, but Stevie's quite, not lanky, but he's and then you see him next to Daniel Rutkowski and you're like, fuck.
That guy used to fight at featherweight. You know what I mean? His head was like the size of fucking
Rumble was a welterweight, but not me. Rumble was a welterweight one.
It's crazy, man. It's just fucking. Full of growth hormone. You know what I mean? His chin was like out to here. His forehead was fucking huge.
And that kick, when I heard that, I was genuinely crouched on myself. I felt I was really grateful for
it. I think it was a knee against the cage.
It was a kick.
If I remember right, anyway.
I don't know. It was loud, anyway. It was.
I got kicked in the boys one time, and a Russian referee picked me up with my heels and started slapping the boat on my feet. like a ketchup bottle. Only you see me and the guys just slapping them. I'm just looking up at them like, get the fuck away from me. I don't know if I get that, man.
So it didn't work then?
No, like, I don't know where to go at it.
See if I could go back and kick one person in the balls. It would be fucking Neil Smith, man. Remember Neil Smith? I was two rounds up and I was fucking exhausted. The worst weight cut of my life, man. I'd barely been fucking touched for two rounds.
Aye.
Went out in the third round, absolutely gassed, knew I couldn't even hold my hands up. And if I thought back, if I'd been hinking on my feet, I should have walked right out and just kicked him fucking clean in the balls. I could have probably took a point off and it would have given me enough time to recover to just see that round out. Even if I took thanking in the round, at least I'd have got the win.
So you never had the crafty veteran heat back on then?
Boom, right out. Or I just went right out, fucking eye poke right to the two fingers right in there, man.
If you come back and have an MMA fight, Cunts will be straight away going, listen, I fucking saw that podcast.
If I come back over like the Ric Flair MMA man, just hitting folk with the backwards low blow. Woo!
That's what I was going to ask. Right. You've no fought in a while. Your last fight was against me.
That's right. Three years ago.
So guys, maybe no. Me and him fought years ago. My 20th fight, and it was your 20th fight.
That's right.
When we got to see you back in the cage, because everybody wants it. I want it. I was a mock fan before I fought.
Aye, I think this year. I think this year at some point. It's just time, mate. I just didn't have the time, and I'm the sort of person that if I can't, like, I get major OCD with training. It's not like jiu-jitsu where I can do a few days a week and be all right with it. Like, when I train to fight,
you're focused, man.
I have to have my six days training. I have to be doing it, training in the gym. I get fucking crazy OCD with things like that. And even performances where I've finished guys really quickly, I still really, really critical of myself. It's shit when you've got that mindset, because I'll just never ever live up to what I expect of myself. So I'm always disappointed. No. Always disappointed in myself. And I love fighting. It's my favourite thing in the world. It's the only time I feel like I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing in life. You know what I mean? But I hold myself to a higher standard that I'm always disappointed in myself, you know? And it's no something that plays out perfectly, because it's a fucking fight at the end of the day. Fights are neat, and that's what I need to get more in my head, because I expect everything to go perfect in my head, and it's just that's not how fights work, you know. But I went back, I done a spar a few weeks back. I went in and I got a spar with Danny Henry, and it was good. And I was still doing all right. I feel like everybody's been nice to me. My wee brother wasn't being nice to me. He came and fucking went right for me. But you know, I fucking loved it. Do you know what I mean? We had a proper tear up.
Obviously, you hated the weight cuts, though. Is there a division that you would come back to?
It's not even that I hated the weight cuts. It's just that
the dieting. Your tuna and your porridge.
I did hate it, but like for me, I feel like I would be in between featherweight and lightweight. Like I feel like if I fought full time and I had all day to train, like if I'd done it as a living, then featherweight's the right weight for me. I can make that, and I can make that if I'm like, so when I fought you, I made 70 with cutting water. Like I done it with cutting anything, and that was the hardest I've ever trained for a fight. So I trained, I was doing the CrossFit stuff at the time, and because I was doing that like explosive strength and conditioning stuff, the weight just fell off me, and I was able to just with diet, I was able to make 70. But when I used to fight at featherweight, I think because I was restricting myself so much, I could only get myself down to about 73 with water. So I was going from 73 to 66, but then when I fought you at 70, I managed to make 70, and I felt the best I'd ever felt in my life again. And that was, so it's just one of the ones where I think, see, when you're concentrating your weight, sometimes it doesn't come off.
Maybe the new weight classes, maybe in between, would that be perfect for you?
I think honestly, like, see, featherweight, if I was fighting a good level guy, at featherweight, when I fight at featherweight, I've got in my head, like, nobody in the world can beat me. That's what I think in my head. And that's really what you need if you're fighting a pro, do you know what I mean? But when I fight 70, I don't think like that. I think, you know what, I'll beat most good guys, but I'm not going to beat everybody. And that's not the mindset as a pro fighter, you know.
What's your style of fighting, which maybe cost you the fight against me?
I try and finish.
So do you think maybe now if you went back, you would still fight the same? Or do you think you'd maybe hold position, land strikes, see the wins it? Or would you see that finish? Would you see that finish?
Fucking ah! Diving the neck. No,
if it's in there, it's in there. You know what I mean? It's simple as that.
It's the way that I like to fight. But I thought about... I took three fights there. I accepted three fights and I never got them. So like a few times I've took fights and it's no work to
it. It's coming.
I do want to do it, but
the other thing as well is you're saying there's a lot of opportunities, it seems like, now for fighters, because there's a lot of shows.
I would love to get on a nice show. It'd be good.
Because even just, let's say, in like Cage Steel the other day there, I mean, if you look at just the views on Facebook on one fight, 20,000 views. And there's definitely more opportunities for fighters.
Everybody tells me to do it, and like Callum says, Callum was watching the sparring when I was back doing it, and like that's having no spar for probably about the best part of a year, you know. And I was holding my own all right. And Danny said the same to me. Danny said after it, and it was fucking. It's nice when somebody that's in the UFC says that. It's encouraging. Do you know what I mean? And he said, like, no, he says you should get back. You've still got it, and fucking, and it is what I love to do. But. I don't know, man. I just fucking I do love it, and I need to get a few in. But I'm 3 year out as well. Do you know what I mean? I'm 3 year out, and I don't think it's helped that I've been doing jiu-jitsu, because even though I've been 3 year out, I've been active. Mm-hmm. So people weren't just like, oh.
It's not like you've gave yourself 3 year of recovery and let your body just heal up.
That's another thing too. My body's falling apart. I'm only going to be back for a few fights for a bit of fun. My body's fucked. Like my body is fucked completely.
Aye.
What about telling some of the listeners about the gym you train in? You've always got a busy mat up there.
Aye, that's going really well, man. I've been coaching for just over a year now. I've got a great bunch of guys now, and I've got my regulars now that are constantly in the gym.
It's an hour and it's smack.
Aye, and see, to be honest, that means a lot more to me than fighting ever meant to me. Anyway, because see, helping somebody else win means more to me than winning myself. I always found winning quite easy, and it came to me quite easy. And for other people that maybe don't find it as easy, if you can get the people to win, that means a lot more to me. And you can change folks' lives with things like that. Do you know what I mean? Like just helping people get to where their goals are means a lot more for me. Like, for instance, I've been training with Gary Priestley for years. You know what I mean? And in the last wee while, we've been training a lot together in the last couple of years, and his jiu-jitsu's went through the roof. It's got so much better. Since we've been messing about with heel hooks and stuff, he came out to California with me. It was a big confidence booster for him. He got substantially better. He's got a lot stronger and stuff lately. He's a lot more dangerous. He's like, he keeps getting fucking very close to catching me. And he won that belt at Naga. You know,
that meant
the world to me to see him, because he's got a wee daughter in the house, and he brings a wee daughter.
Gary well, he's a great guy.
That's what I mean. And see somebody like that's fucking grafted their ass off for 10 years. He's coming on 10 years as well in training, and I think how hard it has been the smallest guy in the gym, and you just keep coming back all the fucking time. All the guys are bigger than you. Used to have to spar fucking Rab Tuesday, me, my wee brother, all the time. Do you know what I mean? And we didn't go light. And they're coming. He's coming in back to the gym, and no, even that. See if you've no. Been in touch with him for a week, or you've not seen him for it. He's fucking texting you. You want a sparm up? You know what I mean? Or do you want a row when you're like, if you're the weird guy asking it, but you've probably found that with Paul Craig. You know what I mean? You've always been smaller than him.
Definitely. And his fights as well, like he's always fought the tough fights as well.
That's it. So shit like that helps me a lot. I like to see people do well, and now I've got a bunch of really young boys. Like even for instance, Coonley, I think about just having a place. I'm not running a full time facility. I didn't have the time to run a full time facility and be coaching every day. But see, just having somewhere for people to go in an area that doesn't have anything, like Coonley, if I didn't coach when I coached, Coonley would have never been doing what he's doing now. Wee Jordan Struthers would have never won the fights he ended up winning. There's all these the boys that are really doing well, and I'm not the sort of coach that's ever going to be like, I can bring people so far on, and if I ever thought to myself I couldn't bring somebody further, I would point them in the right direction, and that's how I think coaching should be done. I see people that get crabbit with folk and think that they own somebody when they're coaching them. You don't own anybody. Everybody's on their own journey, and it's up. And if you can be a positive influence on that person's journey, then send them in the right direction. So that's kind of my feeling. I've got a bunch of young guys I know, and they're all pretty dedicated. And this will be the first time I've got a couple of guys coming out fighting. Young John McCartney, he's a wild wee fucker, and he's just come off the tag. And fucking, I've got Craig Perry, who's a friend of mine. I've got these two. They're going to be out fighting within the next sort of couple of months. So they'll be the first boys that I've trained again since I've started coaching again. That'll be out fighting. So it'll be fun.
I hope you don't mind me saying, but when you were young, like mixed martial arts and training, basically saved your life, didn't it?
Aye, 100%. And I think that's why it's so important to me, because 100%, if I hadn't found MMA, my life would be a completely different path. Like, completely different path. And you remember me from when I first started fighting. Remember I fought fucking Kevin Devine
three times in a row.
Three times, but you'll probably remember how much a prick I was when I beat him the first time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was fucking giving it rah, fucking rah, fuck everybody. Do you know what I mean? Like, going off my head. And mate, you've just won a fucking C-class amateur MMA fight where you can't even punch the heat in the ground. But you'd think I just slaughtered them. You'd think I just slaughtered somebody in front of the crowd. Do you know what I mean? But it meant the world to me. And with every win, I got more and more humble. And with every the better I got, the more involved and immersed in martial arts I got, the more humble I got, and I started to understand like what it means to be a better person and what martial arts can do for you, and then applied that to everything else in my life, and it's helped me with, like, I'm doing a lot better in my actual career job now, and I train people in my job as well, so the two tie in really well.
It helps
me learn about how people learn, helps you over, like, when you about dealing with losses, like applying for jobs, when you apply for a job and you get fucking knocked back, it sucks, do you know what I mean? It's the worst of shit. You're like, nobody likes rejection, but in martial arts it teaches you how to deal with that rejection and how to overcome it, you know?
Do the way for you sitting here getting nostalgic about the old days?
I like the old days of fighting, man.
The circuit, but when he was fighting Kev Devine, it was like, Kev's got enough fights, I'll fight that guy again. It started with no liking him, in the third fight, then we would... Every show after that, we would just talk.
I end up chatting.
Talk away for about an hour, meet him at Thai shows, MMA shows. So,
the next one was Inverness, I think. When you were fighting that boy, I had loads of Thai fights.
And you were in the tournament?
We were in the same dressing room. And I was fighting Johnny Goodall, and I took him out for lunch before it. But see, this is how fucking zoned in I was. Like, I don't think I've ever said this publicly, by the way, but like, I was only taking him out for fucking lunch.
To smash his cunt in.
To get a read on him. Aye. You know what I mean? And that's the only thing I was doing. And that's, it's fucking all's fair in love and war.
I thought you were going to give him dodgy chatting or something.
No, just get a sense of how somebody is, you know? Aye. I personally like to make myself as unassuming as possible, as friendly as possible, because ultimately, when I'm fighting, I know what I'm going to do to them anyway. I'm going to try and fucking finish them for the soon as the bell goes, that's what I'm trying to do. So, and that will always be my intention, so... If I be nice to somebody and they want to let their guard down and think, oh, he's just a nice, friendly guy, fucking go for it.
What was it like for yous two, obviously? Because yous, how long had yous known each other then before yous two actually fought?
That's seven years, about something like that.
What was it like when yous two get matched against each other? Was it a bit weird? Or
no, we were talking about
it was a wee bit weird. I was talking to him before it and stuff like that. But I just come in.
One of my favourite fights.
Aye.
And I know you think you didn't perform well, but it was one of my favourite fights. It was back and forth, good atmosphere.
It was still a fun fight. It was fucking. It's one of the ones where going into it, it did feel a bit weird, but it was like, because it was you that I got offered, I think it was you that had asked for it first, as far as I had been told anyway, so I'd said, oh, no problem, like, because I'd came in and said, oh, Bungard's up for a fight, and I said, right, that's fine, because I was just at the time, had my name out of fight anybody, and I'd went up for lightweight, so it isn't one of the things where it had to be personal for me either, but... Like, considering your usual pattern, we never fucking seen one bad thing. I think teachers are through it. There was no that's what I'm saying. There was no disrespect the full way through. There was no disrespect after it. It was just a fight, and I lost the fight, and that's that.
Because I was going to say, because I know what you're like sometimes, obviously leading into a fight, but that time
I've said that in a build up. I've always liked Craig, so it was weird fighting him. I can't remember how it came about, but it was a good main event, and on top, it's one of the best on top he's been actually for atmosphere and stuff, but. It's good pulling back at it, just me jumping about like an idiot again.
He went full time as well, eh?
Pretty much right after that. It was good times, I loved that fight.
This will be, I've obviously asked you this before, but see when you started, let's say back in the C-class days, and you look at, because you're obviously still about the scene now, you're training, you've got guys coaching, and you're seeing all the different shows and that. What's it like for you, seeing how the scene was back then to how it is now?
It's amazing to see, it's amazing to see, but people don't get it. Like, when you're trying to tell people, and I don't know if I'm overprotective or whatever, because I'm always going to want people to be overprepared, but I always try and drill into people's heads, you've no fucking idea how some of these first-time amateurs are coming in it. Do you know what I mean? Some of these first-time amateurs that are coming in are unbelievable. They're really, really good everywhere, and...
You're jealous? It's jealous, isn't it? I'm jealous. See, I see these 15-year-olds and I'm talking about animals. I'm like, fuck's sake, what was I doing at 15?
That's crazy when you see that.
Because they're training every aspect where we were maybe just brought up with the first one and we were trying to, maybe a judo or a boxing, and then you had to try and mix it all in.
That's the thing as well.
These young guys
are
getting
everything.
These young guys are getting everything.
Young guys come out to be, I mean, I'll tell you who I saw. It was first, I saw Sean Clancy fighting.
Yep, frightening.
And then I saw, watched him fighting, and I was just sitting like that. I cannot be frank, he's probably fingering somebody in the back of the shed.
I was in Bushy's height.
His name is John.
But these guys come to the gym, they see their teammates are in the biggest promotions.
Yeah.
And I've seen how they're training, their coaches. They're getting mentored right for the get go. They're not at a dodgy, shitty gym with a guy that doesn't know what he's talking about. So. It can only be a good thing. It can only be a good thing for Scottish MMA in general.
When you look about Scotland now, I mean, you just look across the country, there's brilliant gyms everywhere up north, across the central
belt. I'd like to see more shows, though.
Definitely less shows than there used to be.
When we were back in the day, you know what I mean?
Fight me weeks if you were.
You're Inverness, Port Glasgow, Stirling, Dunfermline.
You see the Viper show all the time.
You don't get a lot of shows in Aberdeen anymore either, or Inverness, so it's like...
It was good, though.
Weird wee shows.
It was mere about where folk were fae as well, because used to be like, they come, folk are hard as fuck, and then you'd be like, and then you'd be like, the Greenock ones, you'd be like, those Port Glasgow fuckers,
just love
Port Glasgow were hard as fuck as well, folk were like, those Port Glasgow folk always come to fight, and you would just get you'd get sometimes just mad random fights as well, like some Thai guy would just fancy a wee MMA fight, there was definitely mere people doing the MMA now, but I think now it's been publicised that much that folk are, just stay away from MMA guys, you don't get as many guys want to cross train or step inside and just take a risk or anything like that.
Well, I mean, we were saying that, but looking, I mean, just even April alone, we've got another couple of shows coming up at the end of April. You've got Evolution of Combat, and you've got Art of Combat. I think Arena are coming back again as well. Aye. On Top are coming back. So it seems.
Who's Arena again?
Arena Status. Are they not? I thought they were put. No, they cancelled. All right, well, I'm wrong there. But you've got April. We've got two shows at the end of April. I think you've got Ignite up in Arlo as well.
That's
so
quite cool.
Those shows seem to be popping back. I think that's maybe helped me, obviously, when you look at guys in the UFC, Bellator, obviously guys out in the UFC, Cage Warriors, Scottish guys are doing great in there. So I think that's hopefully going to keep pushing everything forward here. But the opportunities are definitely there for guys now.
I don't know if there's as much for pro guys and stuff like that, but that's better because pro guys now having to travel further afield. I would love a wee crack travelling about. I've never had any good travelling out of fighting. I had one trip to England, I think, and I've had a lot of international opponents, but I've not had I've not travelled a lot for it. Mm-hmm. It'd be good to get, and I get quite a buzz doing things like that. Like, I like the crack. I like travelling away and just fucking, you're on a wee trip and getting a bit of adventure out of your fighting, you know?
Because you've obviously done it with jiu-jitsu, going out to California and stuff like that, and you've been out to California a few times, haven't you?
Aye, I've been out there. It's honestly like a second home to me. I love out there.
How's the CD sales gone out there?
Ah, no bad, man. I managed to punt a few singing and just mixed it. Those boys weren't happy.
Did you get stitched up out there with the singing? Was it Gary Priestley?
I couldn't believe that. Aye, he's a fucking great singer. Like, he had that in the back pocket anyway.
He's just been saving it up. That's all.
It was quite funny, but honestly, see when he started singing, right? It was like a love song. When the night has come, that one, right? So. There must have been a group of about fucking like 10 really big black lasses.
Right.
And I'm sitting there like a wee dorky white boy, right? And they just surrounded me and used me like it was like fucking 10 bears rubbing their arses off a tree. I'm standing in the middle of that, and they were just fucking abusing me, man. I was just like trying to look like I wasn't uncomfortable. I was trying to no racist here, do you know what I mean? But I was just getting squashed. I didn't know what was going on.
How close were you to throwing on a couple of submissions?
You can't have what you mean. It's 10 lasses, you know what I mean? What you mean today? Just roll with it.
I will.
Whip my dick out and rolled with it.
But we were talking about, you're talking about grappling tournaments. I saw you've obviously got the team thing coming up.
Ah, well, do you know, fuck. Well, I need to speak to the guys about that because I'm also running a white collar MMA event that night, so I fucked that.
Aye, that's right.
And I just realised on the drive through here, I'm like, fucking need to message James because I fucked it. I was going to be in that and I was looking forward to it as well. But I'm training guys for 8 weeks for charity and then that's on the 18th of May, so I fucked it.
Aye, tell us a wee bit, but I've obviously spoke to you online about that. I'd been asking a couple of things about it, so...
It's good, man. What it is, and I know there's opposing opinions on this stuff, which is fine, but what it is, right, 8 weeks training the guys get, and then they fight like in a limited rules contest for charity. The guys raise money for charity themselves, it goes to cancer research, and I train them for 8 weeks. And what happens is I'll match them evenly as possible, based on their skill set or whatever. I've done two so far, and I've also reffed a few for other sort of areas and whatnot. And what I would say is that there's a lot of emphasis on the coach. For it to be safe, there's a lot of emphasis on the coach. The coach needs to make sure that the matches are very, very even. Mm. Granted, nobody's going to be skilled after 8 weeks, but what I will say is that I wasn't very skilled when I started fighting as well, I'm not saying it's no dangerous, because fighting as a whole is dangerous, and I think it's just equally as dangerous as fighting, maybe even less so because the guys aren't as skilled. If you get two guys round about the fight, that's the same level fighting, it's always going to be a fight, you know. But these guys they know that they're going into that. They're putting that on the line for charity, raising money for charity. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, kind of what happens is it gives the guys a glimpse at MMA, of what it looks like. And ideally, they continue training after that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff around it. I like to make clear to the guys that this is a charity contest. It's not, you're not an MMA fighter after you've done this, because I've seen a lot of people taking these and thinking I'm an MMA fighter right after it, and that's not the case. You've got a glimpse at MMA, and it's a great platform to build yourself on and then go into a real training camp, which will maybe be a year down the line that you can look at fighting, but it's not, you're not now a fighter, you know, after 8 weeks, nobody in the fucking world.
My initial concern with this was, straight away, probably just you've covered it there, my concern was how much training have they got, and my main concern was the matching.
Yeah,
because if you get a guy that's been training before and he's got a good skill set against a guy that's done nothing, that's when I thought it could. So when I found out you were coaching, it kind of made me feel a bit more. I was a bit more relaxed about it.
I'll touch on that, because obviously as a coach, you spend. I mean, as soon as somebody walks into a gym, I know right away if I spend one session with enough people, I can tell how much experience they've got. When you've been training for a certain amount of time, you can see, well, this guy's got a bit of boxing background, this guy's got a bit of Thai boxing background. You can tell by the way they kick, you can tell by the way they punch, you can tell if they grapple. And I'll personally make sure that I get a wee bit one-on-one time with them so that I'm feeling them out and seeing what they've got in the locker, seeing what their power's like, seeing what their strength's like, seeing if they have done any jiu-jitsu. Because I did have one guy who, he wasn't from the area, and he decided to do the Aloha event. And I'm careful about, you know, anybody that's going to train under me, I'm always going to be careful about making sure that everybody's safe, or as safe as they can be in a fight.
Yeah.
And I could tell there was something up with the guy, because he'd never came to any of the classes, but he was still wanting to do the event. And I'm saying, right, so where's this guy training if he's not doing any of the classes? So then I went back a wee bit, I'd done a bit of research, I found that the guy had been training for 3 years, on and off doing jiu-jitsu. You know,
yep.
So I spoke to I found out where he'd been training, spoke to the person's coach, and I got an exact time scale of how much he'd been training, how consistently he'd been training. He hadn't got his blue belt, but he's no far off a blue belt, basically, this guy, and he was trying to do the white collar event, which to me was just totally out of order. So what I'd done was, I drafted in a blue belt from jiu-jitsu that wanted to do MMA for him to fight, and got him beat, you know.
See, that would be my concern with these things. You've obviously looked into it, and you're doing due diligence, but I guess where the concern could be is if there are guys that aren't there, because that's the one thing you worry about, guys coming in way experienced, trying to be a bit sneaky about it just beginning.
I've definitely seen that as well on other events.
Guys with judo experience just flipping guys in the head and submitting them in 10 seconds.
The
guy had too much experience for me. So.
On the flip side of that, what I'd say as well is, you see it on every fucking show in the UK.
Oh, absolutely.
With guys that, in pro-reel contests, mm-hmm. where guys have never done a fucking, like, you can tell that they're taxi drivers and they're going out and fighting somebody that's dangerous. Well, do you know what I mean?
I fought a few myself.
let's be honest, we've seen it and we saw it. I've seen
sometimes
it.
Sometimes people save shows. Because the guys have been on sale tickets, this guy to take a beating, and it's sad, but it happens.
I've had one of them myself. Uh-huh. I've had one of the guys as well myself, and you didn't even feel good after beating them. You're like, what the fuck? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I think the worst instance of that was mind the shit show in Glasgow. You were commentating, and they were trying to get that. What's that?
He's still trying to sue me, man. Can we talk about this?
Oh, right. Is he?
You're kidding me. I can talk about it. I've not got fuck all, so you can talk. I can talk about it.
The commentator.
Right.
Was it Regina Cage?
Well, I'll talk about it then. They had a guy fighting, an amateur guy who'd never fought before, and they had their tournament with like Ian Feenan and all that. They tried to get this young guy who'd never fought before to fight in the tournament against Feenan, and was it Mateus?
Aye.
I mean, that's fucking...
Was making his amateur debut, and he was trying to shaft him up to a pro tournament.
So there's fucking... That
nearly happened to me. When I remember when I started, man, fucking... It was on that Headhunter show that I ended up fighting Kev Devine on. And I was meant to be fighting, I can't even remember what it was. A coach just says to me, you're fighting at 73 kilo, just turn up. I never had a name. Or, you know what it was like? You just wanted to fight, so you just fucking turned up to shows to try and fight. Never knew who you were fighting, just fucking went for it. So I turned up this show, and the guy was meant to be apparently matched with, he was like, he'd had Thai fights, all these other fucking fights. Nobody had looked into who I was meant to be fighting. I hadn't looked into who I was meant to be fighting. But this guy was a bit of a fucking beast anyway, and he came right up to me and he said, listen, mate, I was matched with you, but I fought this, he said, I've told my coach, like, I'm not fighting you, it's no fair, you know, because he would have kicked the fuck out of me, you know, he would have, that's the truth, you know, when experience matters, and at the time I'd been training for 6 months, mm-hmm. something like that, you know, I started fighting after about 3 months, roughly.
That's a jury to him saying that,
About six months I started fighting after, and, aye, the guy kept. So let's say this was 9 months when I'm going to fight the guy, and the guy came up to me and he said, I told my coach I didn't want to thank you, basically. So that's how I ended up with Kevin, because they looked for a last minute opponent. Because this guy had loads of fights, but I wasn't giving a fuck who I fought. But that just shows you like how important. I know like everybody wants to think, oh, I'll fight anybody in the world and all that, but it really matters to build yourself up in fights. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want good experience at amateur, but you don't want to fight somebody that's so fucking good that you just get absolutely leathered and you feel like a fool. You know what I mean? And that you're never going to reach that gap, because when you come up against somebody like that, that if you think, oh, I'll never be able to get that gap. Mm. I'll never catch that gap up, then it's just discouraging, you know.
That's where a good coach comes in as well, though, isn't it?
That's where your coach really, really matters. So like, it's great to have the mentality, I'll fight anybody, everybody's got to have that as a fighter, but at the same time it's a coach's job to keep people on the right track and fight the right people at the right times, you know.
It's one of the things boxing's done well for a long time, is they know how to build guys.
They've just got the bigger pool, you know. They've got the bigger pool, and they can do it really smart, where they can be like, oh, this guy, like, he's won a title, but he's also doesn't he do well against southpaws, and you're a great southpaw, you know, like they've just got the bigger pool that they can get the right guys.
They can get specific type of fighters in to give them the small tests and small jumps all the time.
More money in it and stuff.
I also feel that they don't get tested until like 20, you know, like boxers. Aye. Guys at like 2 and 50.
Whereas here, MMA can be, it can be MMA, a brutal.
Right after the bat. I tested. I thought you were talking drugs. No, you're right. I tested with real fights.
I looked at a guy's record yesterday. He was like 20-0, and like all the guys he'd fought, he's a boxer, and he was like 2 and 50, 0 and 20. And like, these are all the guys he's 20-0. Oh. He's a professional, he's still making money.
And
it's like,
probably
still fighting the hydro and stuff. I'm like,
there's some guys kicking about in boxing that are just absolute fucking bangers. Like I've seen guys, and even worse with these fucking kid on belts that are kicking about in boxing than that they know as well. There's like 50 fucking district this, district that, and it's just like go the amateur route and then go the proper pro route as well. You know what I mean? Aye. It's just everybody, but it doesn't matter because the people that know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
Like the people that know boxing know the real guys and the guys that are coming up in the country. But there's so many people that just want to kid themselves on with that, which is a bit weird.
It's probably about one of the things, especially over the years, where a lot of folk have favoured MMA because you're more likely to get the good fights early on.
That's the thing. Like, I never wanted to kid myself on MMA. I wanted to see if I could be the best in the world or not, and I found that I couldn't.
That's one thing you do. You find out, using the UFC, they're probably a prime example. There's no building. A lot of the times, there's no building guys up in the UFC. A lot of the times, it's just you're getting fucked. But if you look at, like, for example, let's say Craig White. He got chucked in his first fight against Neil Magny. Then Diego Sanchez, and you can say Diego's maybe
Sanchez
a little older.
He is about 50, but
he's got experience, and even his last fight,
he's old enough to whoop Mickey Gall.
He's fucking
you fucking Mickey Gall.
He gave him a fucking horrible
thing. An old man beating. That was a daddy beating man.
He done exactly what you spoke about earlier. He just controlled
put
him.
Put a pace on him though, too, man. He just... The madness, man, took over. What a nice guy he is, by the way. I met him in Vegas and fucking couldn't believe what a nice guy he was. You could probably tell he just doesn't get as many people anymore coming up to him to say, like, that, like, even just to say, like, I just went up to him and said, look, I'm a massive fan. I love all your fights. Fucking, you're a legend. And he was like, he's honestly, thanks so much for coming up to me. Like, really sincere. He's like, I really appreciate you saying that, man. Fucking all the best. And everything. And I was just like, what a great guy. You know?
I think of the knowledge he must have, though. He's been there.
I don't know about that.
I don't think he knows
the first half of his name.
he must have a wealth of knowledge about the sport. He's been in it that long. I'm not talking about his general knowledge. If you got to ask him about science, I'm talking about fucking
MMA. He's no winning the chase anyway.
<Don't know, wait. laughs> He might win that celebrity one.
Oh, jeez.
He's fucking. He's had more punches and lunches, man.
Diego, if you're watching this, he's slating you, by the way.
At the yoga. Questions in, by any chance? Oh.
Right,
I bet there's one for your bro slagging you at some point.
Somebody did ask who's better.
The best fighter?
Aye.
Aye, definitely my brother, aye. The better mop, well, I'm probably the better one just in general, but better guy. But fucking,
three mops, aren't there?
I've got a bigger brother as well. He's actually the hardest. he doesn't like the fighter that can compete, but he actually battled two.
Has he given you a few beatings over the years?
Does he do the podcast for you?
Aye, Barry produces it, man. Barry's...
We'll need to talk about that in a wee minute or two.
That's right, man. Mopcast. Barry's fucking... See, to be honest, man, Barry's like... If I'd put the hours in that Barry's putting in music, he's like dedicated himself. See the way that... he plays every single instrument. He's played like some big gigs. Played Tea in the Park. He's played fucking nice, big in Carlisle and stuff like that. And ever since I can remember, since like Primary 7, he DJs. He does sound. He can produce music. Produces dance tunes. He does fucking everything really to do with music. He's just like super passionate about it. Obsessed.
Like yourself though. The way he's
obsessed with music. The amount of hours he spent over the years is incredible. With music, I mean, just hours and hours and hours and hours and hours all night. Like, even when he had a girlfriend, his girlfriend would just come sit and talk to him Like, he's been with his girlfriend for like 12, 13 years or something, and I can remember just she would just come in the house and he would just be sitting fucking about with music, like, and that's, and she would just be there, like, hanging out with him. Like, that was always his number one priority. And
so he's the best of the three, you say?
Aye, he's the best, that's it. Aye, but he's producing the
Mobcast. So bottom then. He's the best, then it's you, then Stevie at the bottom.
Aye,
Stevie fights the best.
Aye, Stevie fights the best, man.
What about grappling? You and Stevie in a grapple? You tying him in knots?
Aye,
<all Stevie.
laughs> I'm still the big brother there, man. He doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I don't care, I'll just punch fuck on.
Ben Askren stoppage, what's your thoughts on that?
I thought it was wrong, aye.
Aye. So, nah, shocking.
All right, I just straight for training. I was trying to make a joke that I need to spend more time in the game to try and get promoted at some point. But so I've been wearing it to work. But nah, just came straight for training, man.
Nice one.
So this is a question for D Maxwell. What makes a good fighter? Well, let the fighters answer this then.
I guess answer it. I'm a shout fighter. I've just got a lot of heart.
I think self-belief's massive. Like, that's massive. If you don't believe in yourself, because a lot of time nobody else believes in you. Like, that was the thing that carried me through, was believing in myself. A lot of people, but you don't always. I didn't believe in myself at first. It was a turning point for me. I can remember the exact moment I started believing in myself. It was just before I entered into the four-man tournament in Inverness, and my coach phoned me and he said. It was my coach Josh, who sadly passed away, but he phoned me and he believed in me before I believed in myself, which is the biggest thing a coach can obviously do for you. And it got to, it was about April or something like that, I think it was about May, roughly late April, May, I got a phone call for him. I was at my work, I still remember the toilet I was in when I answered the phone, snuck off to answer the phone. He says, Mop, I've got a opportunity for a fight for you. It's a four-man tournament up in Inverness. He says it's going to be the best boys in the country at your weight class. He says it's going to be difficult, but he says all the boys will be more experienced than you and stuff. And but he says, but I think if you train hard, that you can win it. And I fucking remember, I said, all right, like, it was a bit of a shock, and I was like, right, because I just had that, came off a good knockout win against Chris McDougall. And people liked that, and so that, I think, got me the opportunity, because I was probably a bit, like, I was the least experienced going into the tournament. And I remember, I went, okay, Josh, I answered just automatically. I went, okay, Josh, I'll have a think about it and let you know in the next few days. And as soon as I hung up the phone, I thought to myself, what the fuck are you doing this for? Like, what are you even fucking fighting for if you're not going to fucking take any fight? Do you know what I mean? Like, what are you even doing this for? And I just said, I phoned him straight back. Like, as soon as I hung up the phone, I just phoned him straight back. I said, Josh, I'll take that fight, no problem. I said, I'm going to beat these boys. And I did, you know, and that was it. And that was
good boys in as well, Darren Clark.
Aye, it was Darren Goodall Clark, Johnny Goodall. There was another boy, Ollie.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the wee flyer. Aye, I fought in the show.
It was cool. You thought the boy had loads of tie fights, wasn't it?
Darren Clark, man, it was.
Aye, to be honest, I think the whole thing was made for him to win it, because Mike Logie was his mate. I think they thought I was easiest fight, so they gave me. I mean, that could just be my paranoia, but I think they thought I was easiest fight, and they gave me to Darren first. I felt like I won two rounds, and they gave him a third. They made it go to a third round for us to fight in the third, and then I subbed him in the third. Aye, that really pissed me off, because I thought, yeah, man, I've done enough to win these two rounds. And then when he put the third, I thought, I'm not leaving it to judges. Yeah. And he threw a head kick at me, and I remember thinking in the fight, I was like, when he threw the head kick, I slipped it, and I thought, no, you try to fucking knock me out with what I knocked your boy out with. And then I just fucking flipped out and I got him up against the cage, cracked him, took him down, and dash choked him. And that was that.
Goodall was a pretty easy one for you, wasn't it?
Goodall, I just felt he was too strong. He was too strong, and I just thought to myself, I'm going to be better than him on the ground. I can remember thinking, it was easier to plan strategy then, because I remember thinking to myself, I'm better than him on the ground. I think I'm probably better in a fight than him. He was all right at Muay Thai, but I thought to myself, what I'm going to do? Oh, yeah, fucker.
Sounds like somebody's getting murdered downstairs.
Actors. There's an
actor asking
on.
Oh, fuck.
I'm about to go down, man.
I remember just thinking to myself, I think in a fight, I'll be better than him. So I just kind of turned it into a street fight, just walked right up to him and fucking started cracking him, basically. And because I hadn't been training very long, Muay Thai or anything like that. I'd only been doing about 6 months Muay Thai. And so I just started punching him, basically, and I forced him to take me down, because I thought it's going to be a lot of effort taking somebody as strong as that down, and my wrestling wasn't that great. So I thought, I'll let him take me down, sweep him and submit him, and that's probably a bit more conservation energy. So I just attacked him. He took me down. I swept him like I thought I would, and dash choked him, and that was the win. First round. That.
Good night, Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Somebody who's asking the question? Cameron Galloway is asking, what's the best UK show you've fought on? So, excluding Bellator, so take it away.
For me, on top, probably, aye. On top. And I fought on top a lot. SFC was fucking brilliant. Do you know something, right? When I fought on SFC and the fight that never happened with Matty Lawrenson, I never really gave them as much credit as they were due at the time. But those guys paid me for that fight.
Aye.
And they didn't just pay me for my fight, they paid me for my ticket money. They paid me well over £1,000 he pulled it on the day of the weigh-in pretty much. But those guys still paid me for the fight, so I think I've ever even give them proper credit for that. But shout out to Richie and that, because they were decent guys and they were trying to do good for Scottish MMA, and probably too much on the good side, to be honest, that to even do that, because aye. I guarantee you 99 out of 100 promoters are never going to do that and pay a guy if your guy's pulled out of hard lines, you know.
Not the regional level anyway.
Rich is a good guy.
That was really, really good for him, and it was his decision as well, so fucking shout out to Richie for that, because that was really good, and I was relying on the money as well, so big shout out to him for that.
What about you, Chris?
Lawrenson actually pulled me as well, actually. I'd say SFC in Kelvin Hall, the one I fought Callum Hunter in. That was my favourite show. When they used to date in the Kelvin Hall, it was heavy.
That'd be cool to fight in there.
It was sold out. Callum had a crowd, I had a crowd, and it was a great atmosphere. I think it was a draw that night. So I liked fighting at the Kelvin Hall back in the day.
What a fighter he is, too. It'd be great to see him back fighting, man.
Madness. Absolute madness. I think he's... He had a couple of injuries.
Let me ask you a question then before we go on. All the guys that you have seen coming up through the scene, who's the one guy that you felt could have made it but just fell away from the scene maybe too early, whether it be through injury or just something else related? Is there anybody that sticks out in your minds?
I can think of a few people that were good examples of guys that were just a bit fucking freaky in the day. Like Paul Lopez, remember him when he first started? He went like 7-0. He was my first fight and he subbed me in like under a minute.
He had a good guard, a good damn bar.
He just pulled guard on everybody and submitted them. He beat like 7 people in a row, all under a minute, and then Callum eventually beat him after that. But like he was fucking really, and it was some of them were really good guys. But it's funny, I always laugh at that, because you see somebody going on a win streak now, going on a fucking 3-fight win streak, and they're telling everybody they're going to be the next big thing, you know what I mean?
Aye.
This guy fought sub 7 people when he barely heard a peep out of him for it. He was a really good guy.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Nobody's really left my gym where I thought they could have went for. I see thousands come and go and just can't be arsed and fall away for the sport. Maybe even get a couple of wins and then fall away. But maybe that really stuck out for me, for my gym anyway.
What about guys that maybe no performed at their potential?
For me...
Because I can think of one that comes to mind for like somebody from your gym that everybody always talked about was brilliant.
For me, the now is young Robbie, who's a young boy for Hit Squad, who's 0-2, who is an absolute beast in the gym. And he fights have been close as well, but I know people... when they look at his record, he's 0-2. I'll fight him, and I wouldn't like to fight this young boy. And he's only, I'm sure he's only 16 or 17, but young Robbie's like, I think he'll go far if he sticks in at it, but he gets a lot nervous on the day, but he's an absolute animal in the gym, but he's got a 0-2 record, which is not him.
Records can be super misleading in MMA, I think, because you can look at somebody on a win streak and then do a bit of digging on the actual win streak itself and go, man, that win streak's not worth a fuck. And you can look at guys that have lost a few fights, but then you look at the guys who have fought and you're like, there. So sometimes the records, I think the records can be a bit misleading.
Everybody always used to speak about how good Davey McDonald was. And how talented he was. And I know Davey, like, he's a really nice guy, but I just thought that would have sprung to mind.
I didn't think of Davey, to be honest. I've not seen him in a while. But Davey had the wrestling background and the boxing background. It was like a perfect combo. But same again, just drifted away for the sport. Family man now as well. So
it's hard to
people come get and go. Back. People come and go, and it's not for everybody.
Yeah,
it's not for everybody. And if you're in to make money, you're in the wrong business.
That's for sure. You have to sacrifice
a fucking lot. Pennies, even as a pro, you're making pennies. Last on top fight before that, I got Simon Bellator. I fought for £600. You know what I mean? For a pro fighter, for a title fight, that's shite. You know what I mean?
I was looking at taking a fight there I liked the fight. The fight was against a black belt, a Brazilian black belt, on that Ashan show that he's been running.
I watched that.
Aye. What was the guy like, just fighting a bum?
No, he was actually fighting a Romanian guy. It was good, but the stoppage was fucking dreadful.
The guy was 0-5 that he was fighting. The Romanian dude was like 0-5.
He had his back, and it was just like peppering me strikes, but the guy was keeping tight, and the ref stopped the fight. It was a shocking finish, but the guy was a black belt.
Aye.
So Leonardo Souza or something.
That's right, because so that I looked at that guy, that Souza, and I fancied the fight. And I thought that looks like a good fight for me.
He's like
5-1, but I looked at his wins, and I'm looking funny, right? I'm fucking telling you, I looked at this boy's wins, and he's got his mate that's got a cage. He's got five other of his mates. He's got a fucking camera. And he's just filmed beating a cunt up that's his pal. I'm fucking telling you.
He's got about 20,000 followers,
I'm telling you, fucking YouTube that boy. And he's doing a fake fight. And if that's the ones that's on his record, he's no beat anybody in real life.
Aye.
I'm telling you. And then the fact that he took that fight with that boy, it was 0-5. But they offered me £200 for it. And I thought, I know Ashan, right? And I've known Ashan for fucking years. And that's why I was actually in. It might not have been him messaging me, because it was through the actual group thing that they were messaging. And honestly, I just thought to myself, £200. I'm not being funny, but I've trained, man. I've never took a break for training. Imagine you trained and done an engineering course, anything. Mm-hmm. Fucking anything to get offered £200 to fight somebody. And I thought, wait a minute here, I'm going to sell fucking loads of tickets. Who's the A side of this deal? Some fucking Brazilian nobody knows, or fucking or a boy that's going to sell out at least half the fucking arena, because I've no fought in years. And it was just insulting to me, man. And then they did come back, to be fair to them, they did come back with another offer where they said like it was like £50 extra or £100 extra, and then it was like, I think they said we'll do a five or a ticket or something like that. But at that point, I just thought to myself, I was that insulted for the message. I thought, fuck yous. Like, that's honestly what I thought to myself. I just thought, do you know what? That's fucking insulting. And it was more the way that it was worded, the messages that I was getting. And it just made me think. And then you take into consideration the guy's his mate. It's a promotion you've never worked with before. You don't know if you're even... Like, I had to do a bit of digging to find it was actually Ashan's promotion. Because imagine that's been my pal for years. So I get on with all the boys usually. But like I say, I was just... The word in it was quite insulting. I just thought to myself, like, the fight I actually fancied, you know? And the more and more closer I got to seeing the fight happening. And then when I seen the match done with, like, an 0-5 boy, I started thinking, I would fucking actually really like to fight that boy. So that would be cool. Like, see if on top wants to put that on, I would love to fight that fucking Souza cunt. Just pay me a half decent wage and I'll knock that cunt clean out. Aye.
So an on top's coming back. Aye. Aye.
There you go. There you go.
Official.
James Lake, message him. Make this happen. Hanky the ticket sales, mate.
We took away a wee bit there.
Aye. That's it. Aye.
Any other questions?
Aye.
That was the old mop coming back.
That's it. Aye.
That was Dire Straits, man. This guy introduced me to Dire Straits. Find my teammate, and I'm like, oh, that's a tune, man. That's a tune.
Money, that place used to go fucking mental, man. I love a tune. Oh, I was coming out, folk were hitting me in that. I was coming out with my pals. They're like, hey!
Every time I hear it, I just think, you're
nothing. I don't. All right, I'll really. Sorry, I'm repeating it back here. I thought he was asking me. So Cameron Galloway's asking who's gave the lads the toughest fight.
See for me, because I'd be talking shit if Paul McBain fucking finished me twice. The second time was a bit dodgy, but he did finish me twice. The bottom line, he had me in a fucking fully locked out triangle. The second time had been a locked out triangle. The first time, both times was under two rounds. So I've got to say, the guy finished me twice, do you know what I mean? And both in ways that usually I finish people. He punched my fucking head in the first fight for a mounted triangle, and he caught me in a triangle still in the second fight.
Paul's a class fighter, though.
I've got to give respect to him. But probably the worst tanking I had was when I was exhausted against Niall Smith. I was just absolutely exhausted and... Fuck, I was concussed and stuff. That's the worst damage I've ever had in a fight, because I think I'd already dehydrated my brain that bad that getting hit anything to the head. I was like, fucking hell, I was concussed now after. I've never been knocked clean out, but that was probably the closest.
And again, Niall's one of the guys, he's just, if you know, you know, he's a fucking tough, durable guy.
I mean, he ate everything, he ate fucking, he ate everything that I flung at him, he ate a flying knee to the head, he ate some clean body kicks, aye. He defended some crazy submissions. It was pretty fucking cool.
Aye, finishing Niall's no easy
and
task.
You were the same in our fight. That was fucking ridiculous. Like, I thought three or four times I had the necktie lock clean up. You must have been going over that.
You had a triangle with me as well. One point
that was at the very start. Aye, you took me down and I locked up the triangle when I was pitting elbows in. I made the mistake of attacking your arm for a second, which let you posture and pass. Yeah. Because that was where you.
There are things you can look back at, but in the time.
Oh, definitely. In the moment as well, you're like fucking.
But, split-second decisions, innit?
My pro fights were always my toughest three fights. Aye.
My toughest fight is probably an amateur fight. It was a guy I fought called Stephen McCready. Mm-hmm. And I fought him in Maryhill. And it was just three rounds. It was just a three rounds of war. But I can remember, he broke my nose, but I remember sitting backstage after the fight and I felt sick. Mm-hmm. I felt sick because I was that beat up. My shin's still got a lump in it now. That's feel like just lying on my back taking a leg kick, and that was in my amateur days, and my nose has no really been the same, and I felt beat up after that, worse than like the Fletcher fight and stuff like that. So Steve McCready, who's a great fighter as well, tough, strong striker, but
I remember that fight. That was in the was it that wasn't in the Maryhill Community Hall, was it? Yeah. That's fucking mad when you see that now for that's where the DSGI as well. Yeah. But it's mad to see that.
So Steve McCready. He whipped my ass that day. Well, I won the first round, and then he won the second and the third, but done damage to my nose and my shin, and I can remember just sitting at the back like, oh, I feel fucking sick. just the beating, man.
See when you take it, see when that's like you're saying the one with Niall and that mm-hmm. one there, how long does it take you just to start feeling human again after that? If you ever do.
Until your fucking face cleans up. Looking in the mirror, seeing a beaten man, but... It's all part of the sport. I mean, somebody wins and somebody loses.
That's it. I've went in every fight. You go in every fight expecting that, or at least that's a possibility. You need to know that that's a possibility, or you're going to fucking fold when it goes bad.
I guess it's like you said to that Arn Chalmers, isn't it? Welcome to MMA. This is what it is.
But the best thing is about them. Like, I love all them. They're actually probably my favourite things, because that's when you really get to know yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, see when Paul McBain had me in a mounted triangle and he's punching my fucking face in. I had one hand left, one was trapped in an armbar while he was punching me with his other hand, and I can remember thinking to myself, you better knock me out with these punches because there's fucking zero chance I'm tapping. So that's when you get to know yourself. And then the other one with Niall, I knew going into the third round I couldn't even hold my hands up, but I had battered him for two rounds and he was due to get to knock me out. You know, it'd have been easy for me to fucking be like, oh fuck, or pretend I'm exhausted, or fuck, I don't know, they spill water or some shit. But no, wait, I've battered you for two rounds, it's your third round, you get your chance to batter me. And he could see that in my eyes and I could see that in his eyes, and you can tell that for somebody's eyes. Aye. And you know, he seen it right away in my eyes and he pounced on me, and that's what you do, you know. Aye. But I deserve that.
A little Rocky treatment in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. We got anything else coming up? So Jamie Stevens is asking Chris Bungard what happened to the ice balls. Can you elaborate?
I don't know about ice balls. I was fucking promised. I was promised fucking dominoes and strippers. But
that's after the show.
Oh right. That's perfect.
Do you know what? We should actually, obviously, you're on our podcast. And now tell us a wee bit about what got you started with Mopcast. I know you've done your second or two, kind of done a Facebook live for a bit of practice.
All it was something me and my brother had been talking about for about a couple of years. We've been talking about that, and like, my big brother's got a family and that, so he's not got as much time. I've got zero time. That's my biggest problem with everything in life now. Like, every single day is jam packed. I go to work, I come home, I coach, I PT. And that's my day every single day, and then at the weekend I PT all weekend, and then on Sunday I PT and I teach my class, and so I've got zero time, you know. And we eventually decided, right, look, I'm training on Sunday. After that Sunday, I'll have people through probably rolling, you know, some rant. A lot of people stop into my Sunday session at a day, submission Sunday, 4:30, stop in. There we go. But I do that, and I get a lot of guys for their gyms, and that's how I've always trained. I like training with loads of people, and I feel like you learn good that way, you know, getting different body types and experiencing different body types. It helps you improve and deal with stuff that you wouldn't see always. So with the submission Sunday, I thought, I'm going to have guests in, so that's always a good way. I can say to somebody, look, do you want to come in and train with us on a Sunday, and then jump on the podcast after it, and, you know, we'll get a bit of a crack. So And it's a way to socialise with my friends that I didn't get to see that much. It's harder and harder to get time with your pals. So all of that combined, and I just thought, well, let's do it. We've got my big brother's he can produce this shit really, really well. So I was like, well, look, I've got that available to me. He's got a studio. Why not do it? You know, it makes sense. I love MMA. I can talk about it for hours, as you can tell.
Aye.
And fuck aye. So why not? Why not get a bash? And people seem to like it, so aye. It's good.
What's that?
But I need to keep getting Callum on, man, because definitely the humour's better when he's on. I'm not that funny. I'm quite a serious guy, but he's fucking hilarious.
It does come out. Sometimes
I'm getting on.
But he's good, mate. His arm's healing up and stuff like that. He's been jumping in a wee bit too early, like just desperate to train, to train, because he fucking loves it, man. That's it. I don't think he's ever going to give up, man. He fucking absolutely loves it.
That video got put up. It was like a time hop and you're watching the horse racing and jumping about his
head. Come on, Purple Ronnie. Come on, Purple Ronnie. Ah, fuck. Beat again. Beat me, Alain.
You can't think it was come back. It's come back.
Oh, fuck it. It's in there.
that was quite funny, actually.
Some man, Cal.
Aye, he's fucking one of a kind anyway, that's for sure.
I went to Celtic training ground with him, and his dad, obviously Cal's not a Celtic fan.
Yeah.
And his dad's a Celtic fan.
Right,
now,
right.
And his dad was loving it being on Cal.
Aye.
But all the players not, so aye. Great. Yeah, he's a good guy, I like Cal a lot.
Aye. Hopefully he'll be back on the UFC soon.
Aye, he's going to be out there trying to get another fight again, I think. Fairly soon, pretty much. He's just desperate to get back in there, as you can imagine. Like, it just sucks when you're fucking injured and it's brutal. It's the worst thing for a fighter because you just want to train. Like, for me personally, like Chris was talking earlier, like there's loads of guys that come and go in the sport, but see, when you're one of the guys that's just always trained, like for me, probably for you too, for Callum, it's fucking keeps you sane. Like, if I wasn't training, I don't know what the fuck I'd be doing. I'd probably be in the jail or fuck knows, you know.
There must be the other side to it as well. When you're signed to a promotion like UFC, I mean, UFC, it's not a regional promotion.
Nah, they pay well, decent, they treat you well.
Pay you good money, give you good opportunities. When you're injured, you can't take the opportunities and earn that money that you could have.
If Graham Carmel just happens to be listening to this, get my wee brother on it, man. He's trying to get on one of these bigger shows. He keeps getting injured, but he's what to fight on these bigger shows, and he deserves it.
He had some opportunities as well, didn't he? But then obviously the hand again.
That's it,
But... Stevie
treats MMA like I treat MMA. He takes no shortcuts. He trains every fucking day. He trains like every second he can get. He trains on his lunch break. He's training at the gym all the time. He doesn't take days off. He doesn't take shortcuts. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't take steroids. He deserves an opportunity.
Yeah, and I've seen him in the gym with a one glove on and that when I've been there.
Aye, that's what I mean.
He's done with a one glove.
In with one glove, just working on other stuff. Do you know what I mean? And it's shit when you put that much into it and you're not getting what you deserve out of it.
Absolutely. Listen.
That's been a good chat.
Aye, it is. Obviously, I might apologise. Normally, our podcast is more professional than this, but we've just had a bit of an issue. And obviously, Craig's travelling a bit through, so we did not want to cancel the night. We wanted to make sure it's happening.
Next time we'll have you on, we'll be downstairs.
Aye, we'll be downstairs. Cool.
Big table, big spread, strippers, pizza.
Nay actors and... just quickly tell people where they can catch the Mopcast.
Cool. Mopcast usually every Sunday around about 7:30. We'll usually post on the page. You can add it on Instagram, add it on Facebook. It's all got its own YouTube channel, so Mopcast that is. And if always my other session I like to promote is always my Submission Sunday session. Mm-hmm. That's 4 to 5:30, and it's just open mat. Guys come from loads of different gyms, and it's just usually 45 minutes technique, 45 minutes rolling. It's getting real popular, so I'm enjoying that.
Is that gi or no gi?
No gi, just no gi, man. Aye, depending how busy the mat is, we'll either sub-wrestle or we'll just roll.
And is that up Mallow as well?
That's at Scottish Martial Arts Centre where I'm coaching.
And can people just turn up to that or drop you a message firsthand?
It's always obviously more courteous to drop a message, but people can turn up as well. I get guys coming for all different gyms, so it's cool.
Perfect. And guess just lastly for us, as always, guys, we appreciate yous watching the show. Obviously, if you can like and share on YouTube, Facebook, that goes a long way to help us going forward. And again, I just want to apologise for the settings tonight. couldn't be avoided, but we did not want to cancel. But the show goes on as always.
Just I'm showing up with this made it worth a while.
We've got to say that's been the best entrance to a podcast so far. Aye, we need to see the shoes again.
There you go.
There we go. As always, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, man.
Cheers. Beautiful.